So we're reading Ezra chapter 7, the first 10 verses of the chapter. After these things, during the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalom, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Merioth, the son of Zerahiah, the son of Uzi, the son of Buki, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a teacher well-versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The king had granted him everything he asked, for the hand of the Lord his God was on him. Some of the Israelites, including priests, Levites, musicians, gatekeepers, and temple servants, also came up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. Ezra arrived in Jerusalem in the fifth month of the seventh year of the king. He had begun his journey from Babylon on the first day of the fifth month, and he arrived in Jerusalem on the first day of the fifth month, for the gracious hand of his God was on him. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel.
I read an article last week which was saying, what have you learnt in lockdown? Not maybe sort of, what have you learned that's new? I guess that's really what it was saying. Have you learned a foreign language? Have you dot, 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 and maybe all sorts of things. I'm going to share a lockdown secret. I've learned to cook sourdough, which is what I wanted to do for a long time. I know you're probably thinking that is really sad if that's really all you could get up to. But I set my heart on it. Where to start though? Well, Phil Schuster, not Rowlandson, gave me a book and some equipment, but it was a friend in Thiel who gave me a one page instruction and said, it's very easy. Just follow the instructions and you'll be fine. Ha ha. Halfway through my first attempt, I was on the phone to him. There was mess everywhere and it was not working out. And he said, did you listen to your teacher? I said, follow the instructions. And he said, I will talk you through it as to what you need to do now. He put me back on track. I'm still a learner. I want to make progress beyond where I've got to. And to this, I need a teacher. I was talking to Phil yesterday. I've discovered there is a baking school near here. And I'm quite keen to go and give it a try someday. But did you know that we are in a school today? If we're a disciple of Jesus, if we're a follower of Jesus, we are a learner. And learners go to school, as we know very well. We are in the school of Jesus Christ and committed to learning all our days, lifelong learning. And for this, we need teachers. Teachers who will teach us what God has to say in his word, the Bible, so that we might walk in his paths, might trust him and know him and shape our lives on him. Now today, as Carolyn said, we're going to learn from one of God's teachers, Ezra. For the last few weeks, we've been in the book that bears his name, but it's only now that he makes an appearance in chapter 7. We're nearly 60 years on from last week. There's a new king, King Artaxerxes. And the first thing we learn is that Ezra has history. You may have thought it was very unkind to ask Joel to read all those descendants. But the reason is the writer wants us to see this Ezra is descended from Aaron. Aaron was Moses' brother, and he became his spokesman. And that is what Ezra is. He is a spokesman for God. Verse 6, he is a teacher, well-versed in the law of Moses, sometimes called the law of the Lord. Primarily, he would have been speaking here in the law of Moses about the Ten Commandments. given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai, foundational instructions for God's people. Ezra, we read, verse 6, came up from Babylon. Now, you may be thinking, but surely all the exiles came up from Babylon before. Well, they did, but they came in different waves. And Ezra is coming, if you like, with this second wave of exiles. And we're going to focus on one verse today, one verse that tells us so much about Ezra, and it's coming up on the screen now, about his life and ministry. Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. That's slightly different to your printed sheet because you've got it there in the NIV. Put simply, Ezra studied and did and taught. We're going to take each in turn. Firstly, a heart set on God's word, a heart set on God's word. Ezra was a student of God's word. He was committed to growing in knowledge and understanding of the Lord his God. For it's his word that reveals who he is. Our God is the same God who Ezra believed in. He is a speaking God who reveals himself in the Bible. By the time it was Ezra, it was likely that the Pentateuch, the first five books, had been completed. And they reveal the God of creation, as Ben was sharing with us from Psalm 8. He is the God of salvation, saving his people from slavery in Egypt. He's the God of the covenant, committed to his people. Ezra was a student of God's word. But more than this, to be a student can be, needs to be an exercise of the brain, applying our mind to understanding and knowledge. It's an intellectual task. But for Ezra, it was something more. It tells us he had set his heart to study. Now, the heart is the control center of our bodies. It involves all of us. This was their thinking then. And not only our minds, but our emotions and our feelings. So the NIV translates this as Ezra devoted himself. That meant he was giving his all to the study of God's word. Some of you will have set your hearts on something. Maybe you're in secondary school and you've set your heart on a particular sixth form or university. Maybe beyond that, maybe you're not in secondary school, maybe you're younger, but you've already set your heart on what you want to do. You want to be a nurse, or you want to be a teacher, or a mechanic, or a musician. We all know when someone has set their heart on something, because it consumes us, it devotes all our energies. We pursue it, we take every opportunity to know more, we're focused. Now, if we're to become a teacher of God's word, as some do here, have set their hearts on that, Phil is heading towards training. He's going to study God's word. Joel is doing the same. A heart set on God's word. That means spending time reading God's word, thinking about it, meditating on it, chewing it over, reflecting on what it means. This is vital for the teacher of God's word, because everything works against it. I've experienced that this week. Zoom calls, staff meetings, discussions with other church leaders, local church planting opportunities, thinking through the next steps for Christ Church Wokingham. All good things to be involved in, but not at the expense of studying God's word. For if I'm to teach God's word, which is the primary and vital task of the minister of the local church, then I have to say no to some things so that I can spend time in God's word, thinking about it, meditating on it, and chewing it over. Now, whilst this is critical for the teacher of the word of God, it is vital for you and I as disciples of Jesus. How else will we grow in our knowledge and love of him? So often I think we're half-hearted and lukewarm when it comes to reading God's word. Few of us would say we're devoted to God's word. And maybe we're at a point today where we're really not interested in reading God's word, or we've lost our appetite, or maybe we need to repent, to change our attitude, to ask God to help us and give us a hunger, a desire, and a delight in him and his word. Ezra's heart was set on God's word. Secondly, a life doing God's word, a life doing God's word. You see that? He'd set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it. What he learned, he did. God's people were called to be holy, like the Lord their God. That is, they were to be set apart from the nations around them, different and distinctive. And as Ezra learnt God's ways and his words, so he sought to obey God's commandments, to put it into practice, walking, in other words, in God's word. Let me illustrate that from the New Testament. You'll see there, printed on the sheet, are some verses from Paul's letter to Timothy. If you look at verse 12, here is what he says. Set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. In other words, what he's saying is, if you're going to be a teacher of God's word, this is what you are to do. You're to put into practice what you believe. The pattern is the same. Belief leading to behavior. God's word that Ezra had set his heart on had a profound effect on his life. He did it. He walked in God's ways. And that must have been evident. It always is, because it stands out as different to the world. You remember the religious leaders of Jesus' time, who he criticized, and he criticized them because they were hypocrites. They did not practice what they preached. They knew what God's word said, but they did not do it. They did not walk in his ways, and that revealed their hearts. They were far from him. They were disobedient. They had no integrity. There was no example. They were more interested in themselves than the God they pretended to love. If you've been a Christian for any time, you know the damage caused to the honor of Jesus when we say we trust in him and live as if we don't. How acute that is when you see a minister of the gospel not living in a way that honors Jesus Christ. For that attracts no one to Jesus. In fact, it repels unbelievers and it discourages believers. Maybe for us, where do we need to repent and ask God to give us the desire and the courage and the strength to walk in his ways, to do what we know we should be doing? He promises to forgive us if we've messed up, and he promises to help us if we will ask. Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it. And then thirdly, to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. His was a ministry teaching God's word. He was well equipped to be a teacher, as the next verse, if you've got a Bible, says. Ezra, a teacher of the law, a man learned in matters concerning the commands and decrees of the Lord of Israel. So this teaching ministry that he had came out of a devotion to studying God's word and putting it into practice. He lived what he'd learnt, and he taught what he'd learnt. And God did a great work in Ezra to make him this kind of person. And what a gift he was to God's people. When you go home, have a look at the next book of the Bible, Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 8, and you find there the impact of Ezra's teaching on the whole people of God. It transformed them. Or rather, God transformed them through the preaching and teaching of his word by Ezra. What Ezra does here, we find Paul instructing Timothy to do. Have a look again at that reading from 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 13, it says this: devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Verse 15, be diligent in this. Verse 16, persevere. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the ministry. This is the task of ministers of the gospel, to preach and teach the word of God. I mean, just think for a moment how you came to hear of Jesus. You came under the sound of his voice by hearing the preaching of God's word. And as you heard, so God was at work bringing you to life. For we are dead until he opens our ears. This is the means that God uses to bring people to life in Christ and to build up and mature and equip those who are in Christ. So the pattern of Ezra's ministry is such a great reminder to me of what I am to do. And it is a reminder to you of what you are to expect of a minister. First and foremost, a heart set on God's word. If that isn't the case, then I need to pack up. How can I teach unless I'm first a student? So that means I have to devote time to reading and preparation. Otherwise, you will just have the words of man, which will do no good. And then before I can teach, I must first apply what I've seen to myself to put it into practice. Otherwise, I'm a fraud and I will be a false teacher. And then I am to teach. And the great thing is, it's liberating to know what I am to teach. I don't have to invent what I'm to teach. I'm given what I am to teach. God's word is to be the content, pointing people to Jesus. And of course, it isn't just the public preaching. Every opportunity, as we go for a walk, as we meet in small groups, as we gather for a church council meeting and children's groups, where do we start? With God's word. If he is to be the Lord he is, and we are to walk in his paths, then we must hear his voice. We're in his school, and therefore we need to be taught. Last week, someone sent me an advert for a job as a minister. Don't worry, I'm not going to apply for it. But they thought I might be interested in its wording. And this is what it said. You might be interested to listen out after the initial description, why they want a minister who will teach God's word. We are looking for an evangelical Anglican minister with a passion for teaching God's word. That's fine. But listen what comes next. Someone who can help us to apply God's word by their teaching and example to our lives in order that we might be able to make the name of Jesus Christ known in the area. How will God's people be equipped unless they have teachers? That is the primary task that you are to keep me to. That is the primary means that God has given by which we will grow in our knowledge and love of Jesus. Ezra's pattern is very instructive for us to study, to do, and to teach. And one of the key things he's to teach is the commandments. Now, if you have a look with me on your orders of service, you'll find the commandments here. Historically, Christian churches, the people have recounted and recited the commandments. Do you remember the other day when we were back in, I think, early chapters of Ezra? The people in the local area said, well, come and build the temple with you. And they said, no, you're not part of us. We are, you shall have no other gods other than me. So we're going to say these commandments together. And I thought we could stand to do that. And then we'll pause halfway through and at the end, where it says in bold type, that is a prayer. They are not part of the commandments. But by way of response to what we've been hearing today, they are good prayers. So after we've said the first one, Lord, have mercy on us, incline our hearts to keep these laws, we'll just pause for a moment and then we'll say the remaining six commandments and pray again, and then Phil will come and lead us in our prayers. So let's stand together. These are words from Exodus 20. Just by way of preface, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. So here are the commands that we're to obey. Let's say together. God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no gods other than me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. Lord, have mercy on us and incline our hearts to keep these laws. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. Lord, have mercy on us and write all these your laws on our hearts, we pray. Amen. Please have a seat and Phil will lead us.